দয়া করো মোরে শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু, দয়া করো মোরে, তোমা বিনা কি দয়ালু জগত সংসারে, তোমা বিনা কি দয়ালু জগত সংসারে, শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু দয়া করো মোরে। পতিত পাবন কেতু তব অবতার, পতিত পাবন কেতু তব অবতার, মৌসম পতিত প্রভু না পাইবিয়া, মোসাম পতিত প্রভু না পাইবিয়া, শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু দয়া করো মোরে। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু দয়া করো মোরে। প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ প্রেমানন্দ সুখী, হা কৃপা বল কন কর আমি বর দুঃখী, কৃপা বল কন কর আমি বর দুঃখী, শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু দয়া করো মোরে। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ দয়া করো সীতাপতি অদ্বৈত গোসাই, দয়া করো সীতাপতি অদ্বৈত গোসাই, তব কৃপা বলে পাই চৈতন্য নিতাই, তব কৃপা
Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol.
राधाव कुंज बिहारी.
The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Prabhupada, the demigods or devotees know perfectly well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true substance, whether within this material world or in the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam begins, therefore, with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi. Vasudev Krishna is the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth can be approached or understood by the Supreme Method, as declared by the Supreme Truths. Bhaktyamang abhijanati javanjas chasmi tatvataha. Bhakti, devotional service, is the only way to understand the absolute truth. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the supreme truth, not to the relative truth. There are persons who worship various demigods, but the supreme truth, Krishna, declares in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalangte shantat Bhavat Yalpa Medasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Worship of demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. This material world is impermanent. The demigods are impermanent, and the benediction derived from the demigods are also impermanent, where the living entity is eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The words Satyam Param Dhimahi indicate that one should search for the absolute truth, not the relative truth. Now Prabhupada will speak something on protection. While offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha natasya chagaram utanvati majato no. Generally it is understood that the protectors for a child are his parents. But this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taptasya tat prati vidvirja ihan yaseshtas tavat vibhutam pritam tvadupekshitanam. If neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite the presence of his parents, will suffer. And a diseased person, despite all medical help, will die. In this material world, where there is a struggle for existence, men have invented many means for protection. But these are useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods purposefully say, Sadhyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. Once when Lord Rama was on the shore of the Indian Ocean, a black cloud appeared, and from this cloud a demon manifested, Vibhisan. The demon said, he was still in the air, not yet on the ground, I surrender unto you, Lord Rama. And Sukrita said, he is a cheater, he is a hypocrite, chase him away or let us kill him. But Rama said something very important, which Prabhupada now quotes here. The Lord demands that one surrender unto him. And he further says, now it comes, what Lord Rama said at that time, Sakrit eva prapano yas tavasmiti chayachate avayam sarvada tasmai tadamyetat vratam mama. Vratam mama means it is my vow. He is a vow now of Lord Rama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him protection. That is my vow. This is from Ramayana, Yudhakanda. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee Devaki to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenants. Thus the Lord acts as Satyavarata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Lord Ramachandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. When there is a very long purport, do we always, in all circumstances of time and place, read the whole purport? Devadatta. We can, the next lecture giver can maybe do the second half. This is, I feel, very respectful. We do that in Germany. Two classes on the same verse. Yes.
Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashkachyati Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We will quickly read the Sanskrit and English.
Satya vatam satya param tri satyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam rita satya netram satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanam.
The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the Supreme Truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, and all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth, therefore offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. In this verse, it is very, very significant. I mean, everyone who chants this finds so often the word satya is used in connection to Krishna. Satya, truth. He never deviates from his vow. He is the absolute truth, satya param. So many times the word truth is given. And Prabhupada uses this, that the Lord is the supreme truth, by saying, by explaining some very delicate and personal point which might make us blush when we hear it. He says, unless you are completely truthful, one cannot achieve Krishna's favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. This truthfulness in spiritual life starts by being truthful when one looks into one's own heart to find out what is the present position. One needs to assess oneself regularly in spiritual life so that one does not live in illusion about where one is and what are the next steps to be taken on the spiritual path. This truthfulness is sometimes not easy, because as you assess yourself, you will confront your propaganda machine inside, the false ego, who makes you believe that you are not as bad, you are very good. Patanjali is often quoted in saying that we are surrounded by five factors: avidya, ignorance; asmita, false ego; raga, attachment; dvesha, hatred; and then the sum total of all this, abhinivesha, that is total absorption in material consciousness. If you start to be truthful, you will see some things in you which need to be changed. Yesterday in a class we talked about how unpleasant this is for the conditioned soul to confront his own or her own situation, by using the example of the man who had a mirror in his bathroom which gave a distorted picture of himself. Now this man was extremely ugly, and somehow when he looked into the picture, into this reflection in the mirror, this distortion mirror, the mirror somehow put his ugly face back in place by the means of distortion, and he looked as beautiful as, you know, a normal person. So once a friend saw, when he came to his bathroom, oh, you have a distortion, your mirror doesn't give the real picture of reality. And when the next birthday of this person came, he gave him a real mirror, a mirror which showed the truth. But the man with the ugly face, whose face seemed to be nice when he looked into the false mirror, was not happy with the mirror. In fact, he took the mirror and threw it on the stone, rams, and destroyed it. He didn't want to see his ugly face. So in spiritual life, we have to avoid the mistake called kapata. Kapata means cheating oneself and others. Very important and very painful to overcome this obstacle. It's a sign of sincerity if a devotee does not appreciate that his heart has weeds. Unwanted things like desire for fame, name and glory, and fault-finding tendencies, and so on, six and all. These are weeds in the heart, and only a sincere devotee will be able to say, these are weeds, they must be taken out so that the real plant can take root. Unless one is completely truthful, one cannot approach Krishna. Just like if you only when Krishna, a substance can only be approached by something or someone who has the same quality of the substance. For instance, fire, the sun, you cannot go with your body, earthly body, into the sun. It's not possible. Wouldn't these substances, your body and the body of the sun, are not compatible. You would have to take a fiery body to enter that. So in the same way, to go in to the supreme truth, you have to learn to be truthful. And this is a difficult thing to do in Kali Yuga, because we are surrounded by untruth. And when sometimes you speak that out, you speak the truth out, then the trouble starts. Even you lose your peace in your own spiritual life when you start to become truthful and see what has to be improved. It's not a peaceful job to become truthful, because the atmosphere is opposite to this. Another point which Lord, which was said here, Lord Krishna, oh Hare Krishna, I wish you a wonderful day of education, many interesting classes, and no boredom at all. Hare Krishna. School days so far away from the memory. Krishna is very truthful. He will always look for the truth. If you're going to be more truthful to yourself and to the world, remember and be encouraged, Krishna is supremely truthful. He never lets you down. He is always there keeping his word. In Nectar of Devotion, there we find this quality. Krishna is truthful. And then Rupa Goswami gives an example, the example that at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna said to Mother Kunti, Mother, don't worry. After the battle of Kurukshetra, there will always be 5 Pandavas. Don't worry. Now, there were 6 Pandavas all in all, but Kunti didn't know that. She only knew of the 5 Pandavas. She didn't know that Karna is her, also her son. So, at the end of the battle, the remaining part of the Pandavas stayed, you know, the remaining part of the Pandavas army stayed in one place. And Krishna said in the evening, when the 5 Pandavas also wanted to go into the camp, no, we don't go in this camp, we go to the river. we make a camp at the riverside. So then night set in, and Ashwatthama came into the camp of the Pandava army like an old owl which comes into a tree where the crows are sleeping and mercifully butchers all the crows. So he killed, Ashwatthama killed everyone in the Pandava army while they were asleep. But the five Pandavas, because of Krishna's protection, were not in that camp. They slept at the river bank in the nice breeze, and Ashwatthama didn't know it. Krishna had arranged that. He had protected his five Pandavas, and he, because he is true to his vow to protect his devotees. This vow, my dear devotee, is so truthful, it is so important for Krishna, that in order to establish this, that he protects his devotee, he uses Arjuna to say it. I can believe that here in Vrindavan you have heard how he did this about a million and two times, maybe five times. So I will not repeat it, but you know, at the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is one thing he doesn't say himself. He said, because people might doubt it, that maybe he doesn't keep the promise, he says, Arjuna, you say, I protect my devotee. Krishna protects his devotee. Then everyone will believe this, because I will protect your words. Some interesting point to meditate. We will not go into this detail and explain it at length. Krishna's protection is absolute, but he will only protect a certain devotee. Every day I think we pray to Lord Krishna. Do you know that what your qualification has to be that he hears your prayer? This is a new point. Please be attentive. You chant every day, you go every day before the deity. Do you know what you must do in your life so that Krishna hears you, takes note of you? Oops, I thought he always hears me. He is known as Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, an ocean of mercy. Now don't make it difficult. No, Krishna, this is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs. He hears the prayer of a devotee who approaches Krishna by the process of surrender to him. There are six principles of surrender, and one of these principles is to firmly believe that Krishna is my only protector. If your prayers are not honest, if you are not honest in your spiritual life, if you have not become yet so sincere, then the prayer of an untruthful devotee who is not integral in his spiritual life are not heard, at least not in the same way as the prayers are heard of a fully surrendered devotee. Now, don't worry. You don't have to be fully surrendered. Just try to surrender as much as is in your present capacity. And then Krishna will give you the protection which you need. But as soon as you make your own arrangements, it does not work so good. This is a very interesting, I will now talk about this in a very relevant way in ISKCON. ISKCON has been called by our critics as the movement of rumors. Devotees, these critics say, somehow like to talk bad about each other behind their backs. It seems to be, psychologists say this is a very human tendency, and it seems ISKCON is also composed of human beings still. One likes to talk bad about others to establish his own glories or to find faults and eat this preparation called fault finding. It's very human. It stems from a feeling. The psychologists will tell us if they're right. You have to judge yourself. That the persons are very insecure by their nature, and they think they become intimidated if someone has more qualities and is better and has something they don't have. And in this way, they feel more secure if they find a fault in the other person than finding a glory. This is the logic behind fault finding. So, Hare Krishna, I have said something which put me away from the point. Maybe this was no good. Where were we before this? Yes, some of our critics say there is too much bad talk going on. Our critics say. You have to judge if this is correct or not. Sometimes I think we all have experienced how someone says something bad about us, or it's just very not pleasant in his behavior. Now, if you believe that Krishna is your protector, you will react differently than if you believe that Krishna is not your protector. If you believe Krishna is there, but then you will start your whole defense machinery going when you are attacked. Oh, it was not like this, it was like this, and anyway, this person is like this. If you believe that Krishna is the protector, you will know Krishna will defend me. The world can say whatever they want. If I didn't do it, Krishna will defend it, defend this and put me into place. It sometimes helps, because if you always have to defend yourself, then you will never think of surrendering to Krishna and giving up your defense mechanism. And so it helps to remember this. So I will now come to the last point of this class. Prabhupada says, you are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. One of Krishna's instructions is, of course, that we can only come to him by devotional service. There are 9 processes of devotional services, of which 3 are supreme: Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. And of these 3 processes, there's one which is supreme, which is chanting the holy name always. A devotee who wants to become sincere in his or her spiritual life will put his attention on this very wonderful instruction, that we can reach Krishna by devotional service, and of all the 9 processes, chanting the name is beneficial. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. For this we need the loudspeaker. My dear devotees, please listen something about chanting the holy name. Why is this process the most powerful? Because, for a simple reason, we are mercy cases. We need the mercy. because we are very unqualified, especially in Kali Yuga. And as Rupa Goswami says, from all of Krishna's forms, the holy name is most merciful. Why? Because he is always there. The doors of these beautiful deities will close, but the holy name will always be available. In fact, acharyas say that the holy name is even more merciful than Paramatma. Paramatma is very merciful. He comes with us everywhere, the Lord in the heart. No place is too dirty for him. No thought and no word causes him to leave the heart. He's always there. But the holy name is even more merciful than the Lord in the heart, because he becomes manifest and active immediately when someone calls upon him, even in an unintentional way. There were many, many stories about this. I heard just one story from the Skanda Purana, which I want to narrate to you. It's about the holy name of Srimati Radharani. There was once a man who was married to a woman called Kishori, and as it happens in this world, Kishori left him. Didn't even write a letter of goodbye, just disappeared from the household. And this man was very heartbroken, and he began to often chant, "Oh Kishori, why did you have to do this to me? Kishori, no mercy." And so on. And then some person saw him and said, "Kishori? You want to find Kishori? Then you must go to Vashana." So he went to Vashana and she chanted, "Kishori, Kishori, oh Kishori." Haribol. This was heard by Srimati Radharani, whose name is also Kishori. And she said to Lalita, "Lalita, please find this person who calls Kishori." Lalita looked and saw this man who really is described to be a materialist. He was not a good devotee or anything. He was just a non-devotee. Lalita came back and said, "Oh Radhike, this person, you wouldn't want to see this person. He doesn't call out your name. He has some household problems. But Srimati Radhika was so merciful. She said, no, this name is name. He has called my name only. Bring him to me." Then this person came into the wonderful effulgence of Srimati Radharani, which is a mixture of gold, a flash or lightning, and a champaka flower. Haribol. This is how it looks, if you can imagine. Very effulgent, and all his sins were effulged away. If this is already an English word, they were just driven away, and he was accepted by Srimati Radhika. This is the Skanda Purana, how it is told. So a holy name is so merciful, but for most of the devotees in ISKCON, no, I don't want to speak so aggressively. I always try to get the attention of everyone, but we are in a temple here, not in a public war field of preaching. So I will be a little moderate. For the holy name is also an open secret. Yes, the holy name is most merciful, but in order to experience the glories of the holy name in your own life, as your own experience, you need to chant without, by avoiding the 10 offenses. Now, all the 10 offenses we are informed, to fight the 10 things at once is difficult. From which all the others come, and if you can just cut this offense, if you can cut the tree of offense at the very root, you have no longer work to do. It is done. So this one offense you have to learn to work at. This is the offense of inattention or pramada while chanting the holy name. If one can learn only this, or let me say realistically, if one can only work on this, then the holy name starts to manifest and these wonderful results of mercy become. To be more attentive, it is two almost opposite things are recommended. To chant in the association of good chanters, not japa criminals, but good chanters who try to work on the attention. I mean, if there are devotees who are sleepy and so on, let us not call them such bad names. They are glorious, but Hare Krishna, I'm always so offensive. The association, in other words, is recommended, best with very great devotees. And at the same time, something totally opposite is recommended. You must chant in solitude, where you are alone. No disturbance, no sound. You just, it is said, a disturbance-free atmosphere. Two things, in association of devotees and sometimes in solitude, so that you really can concentrate. Or in a solitude can also mean a disturbance-free atmosphere. Especially in the association of devotees, you can relish this one point of chanting, the kirtan. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, without kirtan in this age of Kali, it is not possible to progress. And I think we all felt this when Lokanath Maharaj gave that wonderful kirtan one day after Purnima. Whew, so good. It is really works. And sometimes you must be in total, like, where you really fix yourself. This is, what is kirtan, is this thing? What? Swami Narayana, is this Lord Krishna? Yes, Lord Krishna, yes. So the kirtan came by at the moment. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives three mental attitudes for someone who wants to chant. Please listen to this. The first thing which you should be in when you chant is you should have a feeling of joy in your heart. Not, oh no, I'm going up. The morning program started with my japa like any other day. I have to do it. I promised it when I was out of my mind at the initiation ceremony. No. Chant with joy. There's reason to be joyful.
Lord has come in His most merciful form, and He is waiting to manifest on your tongue. This is a festival. You should distribute prasadam with great enthusiasm before you chant it. And now a festival will start. Chant with joy. Second is, you know, joy means you should know what you are having, what you are getting. The Lord in His holy name. Second mood is, chant with attachment. Mamata. Oh, the Lord will become, He will now come. Ah, the Lord is mine on the tongue. And He goes into the heart. Attachment is very important. If you are not attached, you will not repeat something. In Padyavali, Rupa Goswami quotes the verse, the holy name, he said, should be chanted like a lover who always reads the letter of his beloved. Oh, Sharmila wrote a letter to me. My dear Mr. Sharma, I have chosen to call you Robbie. Really? And then the love letter is, you know, some love message. You make me cry and you make me dance. Whatever people write to each other, I'm not so experienced in this. But the love letter is always read again and again, because the person who got the letter has an attachment to the other person who wrote the letter. When you are chanting, you must come to the stage where you are attached, otherwise repetition becomes boring to you. It's even said, just like the lips of a beautiful girl are always again and again kissed by a materialist without boredom, the repetition is made. In the same way, one should chant your holy name. It has to do with attachment. Deep attachment has to do with love. The last thing is Shraddha. Now, how do we become attached to the holy name, to Krishna? The acharyas say, you must know a little bit how Krishna deals with His devotees. Yasho Mati Nandana. He is Agadamana. Agadamana means Krishna kills the Aga demon to protect his boyfriends, the Sakas. Yashoda Nandana, he becomes the son of Yashoda and has many loving pastimes with Yashoda. Nanda Nandana, he is together with Nanda Maharaj. Kamala Nayana, he has lotus eyes, and the gopis throw sidelong glances on Krishna. When Radharani looks at Krishna, he becomes so in love that his turban starts to tilt and fall down, and he even loses what is not to be lost, his own flute. So, dealings. I do not want to go into the detail here for reasons of time, and these things are so delicate and confidential that it's good that if you have this mood, then you will inquire after the pastimes yourself of Lord Krishna, especially how Krishna deals with His devotees. It makes you attached and full of love, because you know the Lord is so merciful with His devotees. I also try to be His devotees. Maybe I have a chance to get that love also. Hare Krishna. So this is how you must chant, with love and attachment. Then you will be attentive and not bored and unattentive. Of all the processes to reach Krishna, the process of chanting His holy name is the most wonderful process. it is an open secret which can be unveiled by us at the moment where we start to make the determination to chant attentively our rounds and in this way avoid the offenses against the holy name.
Hare Krishna.
So many more things are to be said about the holy name, but really, very sincerely, now I will step down from the seat where I will say some personal message. We are persons, and very sincerely, dear devotees, this attachment to the holy name will only come if you really want it, if you honestly and sincerely, with the fiber of your private thoughts, just want to, oh Krishna, I am so far away from you. Ainanda Tanuya, I am here in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up again to your lotus feet. This mood has to be there, that you really, I'm drowning, I have a problem. I must now connect with you again and call out your holy name. You can hear 1,000 lectures on the subject, but it's not an intellectual thing. It must come from the desire factory, which produces every second new desires and has old desires. You must desire this, pray for this. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you very much. No, he can get one. He can get my gun. Hare Krishna. Swagatam, welcome. So we have come to the conclusion of this, and I can imagine we have gone. Do we still have time for questions? Yes, we do have. Do you have any questions pertaining to the subject matter? There's one question, good. Why is inattention the root cause of all offenses, is the question. Very good question. The Sanskrit word for inattention tells us, Hare Krishna, oh, you are very kind. Wait. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I've become a rich man in this class. The Sanskrit word for inattention is pramada, which can also mean madness. You're calling Krishna, but you don't pay attention. Imagine you invite a guest, and then when he comes, you turn your back, don't even offer him a place to sit. Inattention is caused by three things. One is distraction. You're distracted. The second is called Gleichgültigkeit. Let me say, the second is called laziness, and the third is called indifference. See, these three causes, when you are too distracted, too lazy, and too unenthusiastic for Krishna, for spiritual life, then you will not be very respectful towards devotees, because you will not see their qualities, their spiritual qualities. When you are lazy, indifferent to spiritual life, you will make all the other offenses. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Harinam Chintamani that this one offense brings all the other offenses, because inattention stems from a lack of spirituality. He doesn't explain it like this. He says only it is the cause of all other. And I understand with my own logic that because inattention is born from the three factors, which mean very, in essence, unspiritual, an unspiritual mood, then one, out of this mood, one develops egoism and arrogance and all the things which cause the other offenses. Hare Krishna, hopefully it satisfies you. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu.
Without the intention also, it's not avoidable, really. I mean, if we don't have that much of a personal experience with Krishna, and we're chanting God for 2 hours a day, it seems rather unavoidable to be intent. I wanted you to comment on that.
Yes, it seems that it is unavoidable to avoid inattention. And you are, it is very difficult. See, you have to start, let us say, when do you become inattentive during a lecture? When the lecture is entirely boring, or maybe 50% boring, when you can't relate to the subject, your mind goes, yup, somewhere else. And where does it go? Where there is more raga, more attraction. Maybe it goes to the different preparations on an MTV, on an MVT, Tali, and something where you're more attracted to, or which you hate more, like an enemy, you know, raga or dvesha. It goes to these, the attention goes to these factors. So to be attentive while chanting the holy name, you really have to find something in it. Therefore this almost shocking poem is given in Padyavali, like a lover finds something in his beloved which others may not find in it. The devotee has to find some attachment, some raga in Krishna. It is very important, something which attracts his mind. And therefore hearing about Krishna, his personal qualities, his wonderful form and his pastimes is very important. There will be a time, Prabhupada says, when we just hear the Hare Krishna mantra, immediately Krishna's form is in our mind, Krishna's gunas, qualities and pastimes are in our mind. But as long as we don't have so much attachment to Krishna, we must do something to get more attached to Krishna. And it starts by hearing about Krishna more and more. That's the only way how you can become more attached to Krishna. Shravanam. This is how it starts. Rukmini is the example of, it's called Sanskrit terminally, Purva Rag. She developed a preliminary rag or attachment to Krishna by hearing about his qualities when she was staying in the town. And as she heard more and more, she had this one day, the attachment bore fruit, and she had this decision, I only will marry Krishna, Haribol, no one else. No one else, absolutely no one else. By hearing this attachment to Krishna is created in the mind. Also, you should sometimes, now this gets very intense for some of you, challenging what comes now. Please now see if this is something for you, what comes now. You should sometimes spend more time with the holy name. At Bhaktisiddhanta Lord Chaitanya's measure was he would never go to anyone and eat who did not chant 64 rounds a day. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati kept this, 1 lakh of names a day should be chanted. And Prabhupada also in the beginning said we should all chant 64 rounds a day, but when he saw we couldn't do it because of our restlessness, inherent restlessness, he mercifully cut it to 32 and then 60. But you know by this that we should spend more time with the holy name. And the logic is very easy to understand. Don't we sometimes have people whom we feel sympathetic to? But we have not spent time with them. We just know by the facial expression, this person looks nice. We could harmonize somehow. Don't you sometimes, during festivals, you find and you look at this, oh, he chants and like this, and he laughs like this. Oh, I just need to spend more time with him, and then something will develop. Young girls are often meditating about this. Oh, this brahmachari is suitable, no doubt. And when we spend some time, you know, then and talk and eat maybe an ice cream in the secret meeting place and the MVT building together, then something will start, we are sure. Some attachment will also start in him. There's no doubt it works. It's in the magazines of time. So I think we all know what we are talking. Spending time with someone who is yet unknown to us, but where we feel some type of attraction, brings some raga out. In the same way, if you want to become attached to the holy name, you have to spend more time with him. Sometimes you should embark on the adventure to chant more than 16 rounds, Hari Bol, and see what happens. This has been described by the acharyas to increase the number of rounds, but at the same time, don't think that just by do regularly a number which becomes a stress to you. Oh, I have to do this. I have to now finish my 108th round, and I'm so in stress. You know, I have to do so many other things. But sometimes do this. Ekadasis maybe, or when you are maybe indisposed and you have upset stomach and you can't eat, spend that time with the holy name. In other words, when you have good time, when nothing else is on your agenda, and this might help, because you develop a relationship. But your question is very, very good. I'm a very inattentive chanter. I noticed this in my life as a devotee, that this is a real problem, and one has to make this a project in life to change this. Something very personal and individual, and better not to talk so much and announce yourself as a big japa reformer. Just do it because the moment you do advertisement, some subtle pride might enter your heart and steal everything away from you. Hare Krishna. Yes, you will get a microphone so that we can hear you. And we should listen to Aindra's cassettes and CDs. This is what I do to get attachment to the holy name. Many different new melodies chanted by someone who has attachment to the holy name. This is now out of love and affection. We have all the CDs and I regularly hear them and we practice them and we chant them. This is kirtan helps you also. And if you are crazy for music and melodies, we have it. They're the best melodies chosen by an expert. It helps. Yes. Yes, Mataji, sorry. Yes, this is a very good question. Many offenses against the holy name, our Mataji says, come from the offenses against devotees. And because we are in such a gross mentality, we often offend devotees unintentionally, but we have done it and we don't know. And because we don't know, we can't beg forgiveness and in this way have the neutralizing effect there. See, you have given the answer in a subtle way yourself. You said out of a gross mentality we commit unintentional offenses. We may speak harshly or just something. So you really have to work at your mentality. It has to become soft. The heart has to become soft. And then when your mentality is, I really do not wish to commit offenses, I really want to be encouraging and helpful, Krishna will make the arrangements so that you either find that devotee whom you offended and can make a personal apology, or he will make the arrangement that you might give such a disarming, joyful kindness, Vaishnav smile to that devotee, or something that the devotee thinks, I made a wrong assessment of this personality. But you have its effect. If you want to find out everyone you might have offended, you could engage all the Sherlock Holmes offices, the detective offices, and they wouldn't find it. On your own you couldn't, because we do many things. So you have to start with your own mentality to become a well-wisher. In Buddhism they have a meditation, it's called the Metta Bhavana meditation. How you do it is, you go, don't worry, I'm not preaching on behalf of Buddhism, but just listen to this and find if you can see something in it. After the meditational practice, they will go inside and they will deeply meditate. Now I am in relatively undisturbed consciousness, and my desire is that the peace and the joy which is with me at this moment due to the mercy of the Buddha, that this will go to everyone who I have intentionally or unintentionally offended, or who has offended me even. And I thought it was very nice, and then read a verse in the Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj prays, Svastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam, meaning, I wish good fortune to everyone in the universe. May all the envious people stop harming each other and take to the process of Bhakti Yoga so that they can become kind, well-wishers to each other. What a heart! This is the Vaishnava in the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, this is there. When will I become Trinada peace so that I can become a true well-wisher of all living entities? By the way, those of you who are preachers, ultimately a preacher has to come to this level that he preaches out of compassion, not to count seeker points or scalps and so on. Out of compassion he must preach ultimately. It's a very it's really an area a preacher can work on, that he from his heart can wish well to others, and then only this offensive mentality will stop entirely. But to find with a detective agency everyone, imagine a lecturer like me, I have maybe spoken 4 harsh points in my lecture, and I'm sure that some sensitive Vaishnava is here who went like, bang, again this person from northern Germany with his uncult, rude examples, and so on and so forth. I have received such feedback in the past, and I'm still trying to work on this. How is it possible to find out and say, no, I meant it like this, and there were people sleeping in the lecture and I had to wake them up, and it has to be in the heart. Aindra Prabhu.
The truth is, if it is one sincerely takes the holy name of Srimati Radharani, if one sincerely chants the names of Brahma, then that devotee becomes free from all Vaishnava Mandala.
Oh, yeah?
That's the Psalm 2.
Wonderful. Let us take this into our heart. Yes?
One other interesting point that could be brought out in this regard is that Radha's name is more dear to Krishna than Krishna's name. And Krishna's name is more dear to Krishna than Krishna himself.
Krishna's name is more dear to Krishna than Krishna himself?
Krishna's name is also more dear. It is dear to Radha than her own name.
Yeah.
Like that. So, if we will try to project our consideration of happiness and distress to another, rather than always thinking in terms of our own personal happiness and distress, just like when we think of service to Guru, we don't think so much in terms of what is pleasing to ourselves, but we try to understand what is pleasing to our Guru, and we sacrifice with that shraddha or that regard that if my Guru is pleased, Krishna will be pleased. So
through hell or high water for the pleasure of my guru. That is not the important consideration. The important consideration is the pleasure of others. Just like when the sakis and maidens of Srimati Radharani make the tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna, Kansalila, from the grove of Vrindavan, they strive 10 million times than Arjuna in meeting of Radha and Krishna than they expect to have by the meeting, their own personal meeting with Krishna. So by trying to appreciate the pleasure that another derives from our devotional activities, by trying working on that conception, working on that that type of let's say perception, the effect of our devotional activities, then that helps to awaken us to a higher sense beyond our own consideration of personal happiness and the stress that we appear. If we're chanting and we're feeling sleepy or we feel our mind is adrift, then it's easier also to focus on the consideration of whether my guru is pleased by my chanting or whether Krishna is pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The holy name and chanting is more powerful because Krishna is more attached to his name. He loves his name more. Yeah. So if he loves the name, then he loves you more.
Yeah.
So, because Radha and Krishna love each other's names more, then we chant Krishna's name for the pleasure.
For their pleasure, yes.
We chant Radha's name for the pleasure of Krishna. We chant both of their names for the pleasure of Guru and Guranga. And then we begin to experience and taste and appreciating the happiness that others are experiencing in our devotional service.
Yes. Wonderful point. And you understood. It's not that you think about your pleasure when chanting or yourself. You go, I want to please Radha and Krishna and this Virtumat. A very important point. Thank you very much, Indra. You have given some jewel from the mine of jewels of your heart, Hare Krishna. We have reached a natural end because the time is there. Thank you all very much, and please think about some of the points and relate them to your life as it is practical. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.